Amen. Welcome to Mount Zion Baptist Church and a new year together. And a little snowy, but could be much, much worse. And it's not. So we thank the Lord for rain. I know we've been low in rain. And so this may not seem important to you, but the winter season is important to our farmers and getting the rain and the all of the precipitation that we need going into the spring and to the summer. It is good to be back with you. Those of you that prayed for us, thank you very much for your prayers. We had a wonderful, wonderful trip left last Sunday night after the late service. For those of you that stayed, I think there were 25 that ended at midnight. So they should get an award. They survived the New Year's Eve bash, so to speak. And so we took off and drove about 9 hours to my brother-in-law's and picked him up in Detroit, drove another 3 hours to get to my in-laws about 1 o'clock on Monday, and spent Monday through Wednesday night with them. After supper, left to head down to Chicago and picked up my girls on Thursday morning. Boy, they had to go through customs, and I think we sat in the cell lot for maybe 2 hours while they got through all their customs to come out. And got some food and took them home, and they crashed. I don't know why. 32 hours of travel, that'll do that to you, I guess. And so we got to go to church with them on Thursday night in their midweek service there, and then spent Friday fellowshipping, enjoying some time with them, and then yesterday turned around and drove what is normally 10 hours, and the first five to the Ohio-Pennsylvania line was clear sailing. And then we hit that Pennsylvania state, and it was all snow and ice and slush and rain for the next 7 hours. It took us 7 hours to get home from Pennsylvania line. But my wife likes adventure. She likes these snowstorms and being out in those things. So we got back about 9 o'clock last night, and it is good to be home with you. Make mention of a few things here as we get started. I do want to congratulate Ava Scarborough, because Ava just finished her two-year degree in creative writing at Christmas or in December, and it's always good to complete a course of study, and so we do congratulate Ava on that. I also want to mention in the new year, don't forget about the chronological Bible reading schedule. We made those available last week, but if you're looking for a plan to read through the Bible, and oftentimes we do better with plans than we do with no plans. And so let me encourage you about that. But there's a handout in the back that will lead you through the Bible, reading through it chronologically this year. Encourage you to get that. Next week on the 14th is a big Sunday, because we work through the vision, kind of cast a vision for the whole church next week. And so we hope to have some things in print for you to be able to look at, and be able to look at the scope of the year, introduce the theme of the year. And then in addition to that, next week we hope to have, believe we'll have, the main two architectural drawings for the building across the street. So we believe we were finalized on that, and getting ready to go after construction permits. So what we're going to do is we're going to put it at a table in the back, and then have the two drawings that will be laid out for you, big drawings that you can look at over the next couple of weeks. And then in the month of February, in our members meeting, we'll be actually voting to move forward with the first part of that project as we get into the construction permits and begin to make changes to that building. And so wanted you to be aware of that. Also wanted you to be aware of the fact that I received a phone call from the engineer working with us on the radio station, and we do have a competitor, and so you can pray on that. But he gave me very, very strong indication, though it's not signed, sealed, and delivered yet, so that's why we continue to pray. But it looks like we have won that frequency, and so you pray with us about that. We don't have anything in writing yet, so that's why I say continue to pray. But we did hear back this week on that front. And so I'm cautiously excited, okay? Cautiously excited, I think, is a good way to be. And then I want to remind you that at the beginning of the year here, of course, we'll be making envelopes available with numbers for your giving from last year. But I also want to remind you that this is the first Sunday of the year. So if you made a faith promise commitment back at Missions Conference, then that commitment begins today and goes through the end of this year. And so just be reminded about that. Of course, we have a activity, church-wide activity, coming up tomorrow night. Bowling, if you haven't signed up, you can still sign up. There's a sign up in the back. $5 an individual. That includes your shoes and 2 hours of bowling. And then we'll have snacks and prizes, because a lot of you, I know, bowl like 9 out of 10 strikes in a row, so we want to reward you. But we have that tomorrow night. Look forward to enjoying your fellowship there. And then just remember to continue to pray for our own. Probably the most urgent request right now is Elizabeth Wachowiak. Elizabeth has an infection on her stomach, and so they've had her on antibiotics the last 2 days. And if it does not come down, large spot on her stomach, if it doesn't come down, she'll have to go in for surgery. And so we want to pray for Elizabeth. This has happened this past week, and want to keep you up to date on that. Stand with me this morning. Good to have you in church. Maybe you're tired. It's okay to come to church tired. That's most of us most weeks, right? But God has something for all of us today, doesn't he? And he has something for us in the way of encouraging others today too. And so look for somebody to encourage throughout the day, but it's good to have you in church today. Let's bow for a word of prayer. John Wright, would you lead us in prayer as we begin this service? Amen. It's a new year. And the Bible talks about singing. When it talks about singing, it talks about a new song. A new song. How many of you would say, preacher, before I was saved, maybe even after I was saved, I was into some of the world's music? Would you raise your hand? I was into some of the world's music, all right? Put your hand down. And when you got saved, if you came to church, you learned new songs, didn't you? It's different. It's better. It's focused on God. So we're going to sing new songs today. Not new songs to most of you, but think of them as new songs in comparison to the old songs you used to give yourself to, and give your heart to the Lord as you sing the new song today. Let's sing together. God bless you.
Song number 13, Crown Him with Many Crowns, The Lamb Upon His Throne. Song number 1, 3 in your songbooks. Sing out together on the first.
Crown him with many crowns, a lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem shouts, all music but its own. Awake, my soul, and sing. Love him who died for thee, and hail him as thy matchless king through all eternity. Crown him the Son of
Ladies to take the third, gentlemen you take the fourth, and we'll all come together on the last. Ladies take the third.
and take the fourth. Crown him the Lord of peace, whose power a scepter sways. From pole to pole that wars may cease, and all be prayer and praise. His reign shall know no man, and round his pierced feet their flowers of paradise extend, their fragrance ever sweet.
Together on the last,
round him the Lord of love, behold his hands and side, which roots yet visible above, in beauty glorify. All hail, Redeemer, hail, Lord, thou hast thy glory, thy praise shall
be seated.
Well, again, it's good to welcome everybody to Mount Zion Baptist Church this morning, and we need to be praying for those that are sick, that you know of they're sick and need healing, and those that just need God's hand of deliverance. We learned about that in Sunday school. God is our deliverer. It's good to have everyone out this morning. We just want to give you a warm welcome. It's good to have Galena and Sophia here. They're there with Born Traggers. I know them from camp, right? Actually from Hunt Valley, okay, but camp, you know, and it's coming. So it's good to have Galena and Sophia with us this morning. Amen. And it's good to have Tony Peters. He's with us. If you haven't met Tony, he's right there, right behind my wife. And you get by and shake his hand and meet him. It's good to have all of you here. Good to have Jordan here. Good to have John and Tiffany Mink here, back in the back, and all of you. It's great to have you. I'm wondering if I missed anybody. I don't think I did. I know we're a little low on numbers this morning, but we've got a lot of folks just need healing. Okay, on this side, and how about on this side? All right, well, this is what we'd like to do. Like, stand, shake somebody's hand, welcome them to church this morning.
Take your songbooks, turn to hymn number 426. Hymn number 426 in your songbooks. While you're turning there, I think the contrast of the first verse of this song with the last verse of this song is a very strong contrast. In the first verse of the song, he's looking at the sins of the earth and how they are besetting people on every hand. And doubts and fear and things of earth in vain to me are calling. None of these shall move me from Beulah land. In the last verse of the song, he's looking at the works of God. And all of that encourages him to dwell in Beulah land, to dwell in the word, and to dwell in the presence of God. Now, this is not a song that you can kind of go, I'm living on the mountain. This is a song that needs energy. It needs to be energy from your heart. But we have that praise God on the chorus, and I want you to give a good, hearty praise God. Sing with me the first and the last verses. Think about the words now. Hymn number 426. Together,
Far away the noise of strife upon my ear is falling. Then I know the sins of earth beset on every hand. Doubt and fear and things of earth vain to me are calling. None of these shall move me from you. Drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh, yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply. For I am dwelling in Beulah land.
Verse number 4, viewing here the works of God together.
Viewing here the works of God, I sing in contemplation. Hearing now is blessed voice,
I see
the way. Dwelling in the Spirit here, learn a full salvation.
God,
I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply. For I am dwelling in Beulah land.
You know what he's saying is time with God. Contemplation. Hearing now his blessed voice, dwelling in the Spirit is an endless supply of strength and joy. And all of us have that opportunity. Every person here can dwell on the mountain, according to the song and the truth of God's word. Just before I ask Brother Mark to pray, I would like to thank Brother Evan Daugherty. Evan came and plowed last night. I said, Evan, how long did it take to move all that? He said, about 4 hours, Pastor. He said, one of the tires came off the rim. I had to stop, repair all that, and then continue. And we just appreciate his dedication to clear things out for us today and saves the church a lot of money by doing that. So, Evan, we want to thank you. I don't even know if he's up here. He's in the back. All right, but he's hearing me. All right, God bless you. Brother Mark, you pray over our offering. Amen. You may be seated.
and take your songbooks now. Stand with me. We'll go to 129, At the Cross. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? 129 in your songbooks. Together on the first.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? But he devoured that sacred head for such a worm as I. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there my faith, I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I had done, he rode upon the tree, amazing pity, grace unknown. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
We'll sing the last. When we get to the chorus, it'll be just our voices together on the last.
My drops of grief can never repay the debt of love. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Amen. You may be seated.
Trust day by day that our cup he will fill, and when he tells us sacrifice our treasures here on earth, rich blessings are in store for us and joy of matchless worth. Jehovah Jireh,
we take his children, he will never.
Take your Bibles now. Turn to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. When you found Exodus chapter 14, stand with me if you would for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to read one verse, verse number 15. Exodus chapter 14 and verse 15. The Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you, and Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your abundant blessings upon us. Lord, we thank you for our very breath. Lord, for our very life. Lord, we thank you most of all for your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you for the truths of your word. And Lord, for the preaching of your word. I ask now, Lord, that you would bless the preaching of your word, that you would help each and every one of us to listen intently for what you have for us. Lord, as we embark upon 2024, help us, help each of us, Lord, to desire, and Lord, not only desire, but to do, to walk closer with you. I pray now that you would be with our preacher as he brings us this message. Give him the words you want him to speak. And I ask, Lord, that you would be glorified. In your name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Of course, if you want to mark somebody down to pray for in the next 10 days to 2 weeks, it would be Todd Keith. He made a trip to Mexico yesterday and is working in a ministry of translation down there in Mexico. So remember him and keep him in your prayers, if you will. Tonight in the evening service, we will partake of the Lord's Supper together, which is a special time fulfilling the ordinance of the church, one of the ordinances of the church. And so please be in prayer for that. I was able to see Brother Armacost on our trip, and he is leaving for Myanmar, Burma, this month to start ministry over there. So please be in prayer for him as well. We're in Exodus chapter number 14. And a little bit of background to this particular text of Scripture. We have the children of Israel, probably 2 million people at the time, who have left Egypt, been delivered out of the hand of Pharaoh. You remember that long, drawn-out slavery in Egypt, and finally God brings those 10 plagues upon upon Egypt, and finally, Pharaoh lets God's people go. But then he begins to chase them, doesn't he? And we read in the Scriptures that somewhere along this path, Moses cries out unto the Lord. Now, we don't have that particular prayer recorded in Scripture, but in verse number 15 of our text, Exodus chapter 14, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." In other words, Moses, this is not a time to pray. This is a time to speak. There are times to pray. By the way, throughout this year, you're going to hear a lot of messages on prayer. It's part of our theme for the year. But in this particular passage of Scripture, the Israelites had traveled for some days and camped in a couple of places. And God told Moses to tell the people to turn back, to go to a place by the name of Pi-Hahiroth between Migdol and the sea. And we read about that in Numbers chapter 33 and verse number 7. This particular place that God told Israel to return to. So they're leaving Egypt, and God tells them, now I want you to go back to this spot. This particular spot was a mouth of gorges. That's what the meaning of the word is here. So they returned to an area that had lots of mountainous gorges around them. And then they returned to Migdol, which means tower. It seems that God was taking them to a place where they would not be able to strategize, they would not be able to rationalize, and they would not be able to compromise.
He was taking them to a place where the only way out was to obey God. That would be the only way out for Israel in this place. In other words, I'm going to put you, Israel, in a horrible predicament. I'm going to put you in a tough spot, a brutal place. Why? That he would make his name known to the Egyptians. Notice in verse number 18 of Exodus chapter 14. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. In other words, Israel, I'm going to take you and put you in a very, very difficult place so that Egypt will know that I am God. You ever felt I'm stuck in this marriage? It's a tough place. Did you ever think about the fact that you might be stuck at that job? You might be stuck in a financial crunch. You might be stuck as a parent. That God may show himself to someone else that he is God. That's what he was telling Israel. That's how he was leading Israel, was that God would put him in a put them in an uncomfortable, difficult, challenging situation. Because watch this. God doesn't exist for us. We exist for God. Israel was going to be taught that lesson. Right here, between Migdol and Pi-Hahiroth, they were going to learn that this was not about them, this was all about God. Until we finally understand that we exist for God rather than he exists for us, and that the rotation of our worlds, our situations, our lives, that all of that will not make sense until we believe that truth, that we exist for God. Perhaps special team football players have the best grasp of this idea. How many of you like watching a good football game? All right, I'm one of those people. And in a good football game, there's a part of the game where there's a kickoff. And the kickoff is about two teams called special teams in which a guy kicks off and there are people running as fast as they can to go down and take down the guy that catches the ball. And there are guys on the other team that are being run at that are going to get plowed over, not because they get to score a touchdown, but because there's one guy behind them that they're trying to block for so that he can make it as far as he can down the field and make progress for their team. Those blockers give themselves up for the sake of the runner. There's nothing else to block for. This is what you block for. And so here is Israel seemingly in a place where they're going to give themselves up. I mean, it looks like, listen, we've got mountains on one side, we've got a tower, and we've got Israel coming, and behind us we have the Red Sea. Like, there's no place to go. If you would look at this on a map, there's a beachfront called Nuweiba that could hold 2 million Israelites, but there's no place to go. Like, you're not going to go up the mountains, and here comes Egypt. Here comes the army. Here comes Pharaoh. Here comes the chariots. This is where we find God speaking to Moses and saying, "Why are you crying unto me?" It's time to speak up and to tell Israel, the people, 2 million Jews, it's time to go forward. Forward? Forward where? Like, across the sea? Are you serious? You know, reasons not to move forward in life stems from a lot of things. Sometimes it stems from fear. We don't go forward in life in some area because of fear. Sometimes not going forward in life stems from inexperience. I haven't done this before, and I'm not really excited about trying it. Inexperience. Sometimes it stems from inability to go forward in life. But I want you to understand this morning, from a spiritual context, when you fail to go forward in your spiritual life, you prevent yourself from seeing the miraculous. These people were camped out. They were camped out in this place. They were not going forward. Moses is evidently going to God and talking to God about this and saying, how do I get these people to go forward? Or, Lord, what do you want us to do? Look where we're at. Like, how do I keep these people encouraged? The enemy's coming. It's getting desperate, Lord. And God says to him, why are you talking to me? You need to speak to the people that they go forward. Now, forward for them would require a miracle. Because to turn and go through the Red Sea, physically and humanly speaking, would not be possible except a miracle. God, I don't know about going forward. There's a big sea ahead of us. How are we going to get across? I think I will stay here where it takes little faith. I think I will continue to camp out here. I want you to get this thought this morning. Here's the crux of the message. God is really interested in you as an individual going forward spiritually. That is a big deal to God. Just like it was a big deal to the nation of Israel here and to God that the nation of Israel go forward. Forward means this. Forward means intentional direction in your life. That's what it means. I don't go forward without making an intentional decision to go forward. If I'm looking at purchasing a car, I make an intentional decision and direction to go look at cars and eventually to purchase a car. If I'm going to go forward, it's intentional. It's on purpose. It has direction in mind. It requires decision in my life if I'm going to go forward. And by the way, that's true of you as well. If you're going to go forward spiritually in your life, it will take intentional decision and direction. The Australian coat of arms pictures two creatures. One is the emu, which is a flightless bird. And the other is the kangaroo. The animals were chosen because they share the same characteristic that appealed to Australian citizens. You say, preacher, what is that? Both the emu and the kangaroo can move only forward. They cannot go backward. The emu's three-toed foot causes it to fall if it tries to go backwards. And the kangaroo is prevented from moving in reverse because of its large tail. Two animals on the Australian coat of arms, and they like those two animals because those two animals can only go forward. But the sad thing is, in the Christian life, that's not true. Christians can go forward, and sometimes Christians can stalemate and stay put, and sometimes Christians can go backwards. The message I've entitled simply is to go forward. God tells Moses there's not but one thing to do except to get up and to go forward. I didn't bring you out to take you back. I didn't bring you out to leave you where you're at. I didn't bring you out to camp here. This is not the land I promised you. I have so much more in store for you, but you must go forward. And I'm saying, as we begin a new year this morning, every believer here must go forward. Forward. Onward, forward. Israel, I want you to see a number of pictures about Israel this morning. First of all, Israel were fugitives, but they were not forgotten. They were fugitives, but they were not forgotten. Can you see these Israelites crowding together on the shores of the Red Sea, alarmed and afraid, whispering to one another? Did you hear them? Did you hear the army coming? I think I see them. What are we going to do? What's next? We got no place to go. Oh, and Moses is going to tell us to go forward? Are you kidding me? Who does he think he is? That's an impossible task. Some here may feel like you're on the run from the enemy. Seems as though Satan is one step behind you, sometimes in front of you. Seems as though you hear his lies coming into your mind. Seems like I can't in your life is your theme over the past number of weeks and months. They're crying to God and to Moses, thinking of some plan, maybe devising another. They're fretful of the enemy, knowing they've been under the rule of the enemy before. And sometimes we as Christians have been enslaved before, and we sense some of those things coming back into our lives. The enemy was certainly coming after them. I'll pursue them. I'll overtake them. I'll divide the spoil. Huh. And here comes the divine answer, full of wisdom. Speak unto them and bid them that they go forward. Some here this morning, you're a fugitive in the sense that you're without Christ in your life. And the enemy has taken you down the course and the path of sin in your life. And you know and you've heard the threatening of judgment off in the near future. You know that sin demands a penalty, and that penalty is hell. And unless God helps you, you shall be in hell. What shall I do for you this morning as a preacher? Oh, I could pray for you. And we do pray for the lost. But may I say more than that, it's better for me to tell you to go forward and to preach your only hope is Christ, and for you to trust in the miracle of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and be delivered from your sin, and be delivered from the enemy, and be delivered from hell through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I say forward, sinner. I say forward to the cross of Christ this morning. I say come to Jesus and be saved. Forward in the way of faith, in the Savior's name. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You see, prayer is a bad substitute for obedience to the truths of God. Well, preacher, I'll pray about getting saved. No, you ought to get saved. You ought to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and get saved. Well, preacher, I'll think about it a little bit longer. Do no such thing. Thinking is a poor substitute for believing. Forward, forward at once and on spot. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Go forward in Christ today. Go forward in salvation. Come forward at an invitation this morning and say, dear God, you're telling me to come to Christ this morning, and I'm going to obey you by faith. I'm going to respond to that. I think of Jonah, who represents a believer on the run like God's people who are on the run in this passage. I can pray for you if you're backslidden this morning. I can pray for you as Moses did for Israel, but like Jonah, you must at some point go forward. You must at some point come to an intentional decision and an intentional change of direction in your life and say, I'm going to repent. I'm going to confess my sins. I'm going to make a U-turn and return back to God with all of my heart and soul. I'm making that decision for God. I'm going forward in 2024. The Lord would tell you there's nothing to go back to. If you're backslidden this morning, you've probably experienced some of the ways of the world and some of the sorrows of the world and some of the emptiness of the world. You probably experienced some of the loneliness of the world. Can I encourage you this morning? There's nothing to go back to if you're backslidden this morning. There's everything to come to. There's everything to go forward to, and that's to return to Christ. May I say, if you don't eventually pull up your stakes from this world, you will be destroyed. The thing for you this morning is to go forward. You've been letting time waste spiritually in your life. Weeks, months, years, thinking about it, praying about it, reading about it, hoping about it, fearing about it, but never getting right with God. And I say to you this morning, as Moses was to say to the children of Israel, I bid you, I beseech you, I try to persuade you and convince you, go forward this day. Go forward this day. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You see, Jesus always has the answer for the backslider. He always has open arms. He always has forgiveness. He always has a second chance. He always has taking you out of a miry pit and setting your feet on a rock and establishing your going, putting a new song in your heart and joy in your heart and worth living again and a renewed relationship with the Lord and a joy to be able to fellowship with him. Lord, that you would want to talk to me again. God has all that and more in store for somebody that's backslidden. Israel was a fugitive, but it was not forgotten. Maybe you're a fugitive this morning, but can I encourage you, you're not forgotten. Number two, Israel was an army under a commander. The command to go forward is a great command. There's not room for retreat or recanting in this decree. However, to go forward through the Red Sea, that command looked impossible. We're going to die if we do that. You want us to swim across that? Do you know where we're at? There are miles and miles of deep water, and who knows the bottom of the sea? Forward? Absurd. We shall lose camels and sheep, baggage, wealth, children, little ones, and yea, our own lives also. But God said, go forward. You came out of Egypt under Moses' command. Now, will they play the role of a rebel? If the Lord be your captain this morning, you're a believer in Christ, then you must do absolutely what he bids you. At any loss and at any cost. If he says forward and it be into the Red Sea or the Gulf of Fire, forward you must go. You see, we are an army and he's the commander. I may never march in the infantry, but I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. That's what God was getting at here. Wait, I'm captain. You're the army. Christian, may I remind you this morning, you don't do well in life when you're the captain. Life does not work well. It's not that God's a captain that he wants to boss us around. It's that God's a captain and he knows we need his direction in our lives. Me get baptized? Yeah. What's the hurry? No big deal. I'll do it when the Lord reveals to me that I should do it. Wait, doesn't the Bible reveal to us that we should get baptized after salvation? Doesn't the Bible say in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were what? Were baptized. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verse number 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Does the Lord tell us to do it? He absolutely does. Does the Lord give us scriptural examples of believers that it was the norm for a believer to identify publicly with Jesus Christ? Yes, the Bible throughout the book of Acts and Romans, all over the pages of Scripture, the Bible gives us this step of obedience. In fact, the first step of obedience after salvation. You know what God says to every believer? He says this, go forward in baptism. That's what he says. What does it require, preacher? It requires an intentional decision. Lord, this is what you want. This is what I'm going to do. It requires intentional direction. Lord, I'm not going to go backwards and turn away from what you want in my life when you just gave me salvation and eternal life. Lord, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to go forward. There are some in this building, I'm talking to teenagers, I'm talking to juniors this morning. I'm talking to adults. There are some, you're saved, and you need to go forward in water baptism. And you need to start the year that way. Bless God. God, I am going forward. You might be scared of water. You just remember a little old lady named Irene Camley who was too. And at 75, 72 years old, I don't know how old she was, she overcame that fear and she went forward in that area and obeyed God. Preacher, to give up smoking or drinking is too much. It's too hard. I want it so bad. But the Bible says, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness. In order to walk an honest Christian life, I cannot walk drinking alcohol or taking alcohol into my system. What it's saying is this, that does not reflect Jesus Christ. Guess what? You can overcome that with the help of God. And so the Bible teaches us that that is a work of the flesh. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Say, preacher, what's the answer? The answer is to be filled or under the control of the Spirit of God. And as He urges you to overcome and say no to those things, you get victory and you have an honest, consistent Christian testimony to others. If you're dealing with smoking or drinking, you say, preacher, I've tried before. You know what I'm saying this morning from the authority of the Word of God? God wants you to go forward in that area. God wants you to have victory. God wants you to dump the alcohol out of your refrigerator, never buy another drink to come in, and never buy another cigarette, and stay away from the places that sell it, and get victory over it. Go forward. What would you think of our soldiers if when they were bidden to charge, they should say, well, there's a ditch in the way, I'm going to jump in it instead. But there are soldiers in the way. I don't think I'm going to charge. But they have very sharp fixed bayonets. And the general would say, fix yours too. And push them back and charge. You see, the United States military expects every man and woman to do their duty. What God commands us must surely have a higher claim on us than what the U.S. military commands our soldiers to do. God's claim as our general and captain ought to have a higher claim on our lives than what the military sergeants and generals and president has upon our military. Preacher, to humble myself before my children or before my marriage partner is just too much to ask. And it won't work anyway. But the Bible says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Does that sound like an option? Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. Or does that sound like a command coming from a captain? To continue, preacher, to make all things new in my life is going to cause strife in my family. To follow the Lord in this area of my life is going to require sacrifice. You say, preacher, my dad doesn't want me to go into the ministry. If I do that, I'm going to set off a firestorm in my home, and the Master's message to you is forward. Forward. Israel was a nation with a mission to enter into Canaan. Not only were they a fugitive, but not forgotten. Not only were they an army with a commander, but they were a nation with a mission to enter Canaan. They were going to go up and slay Canaanites and Hivites and Jebusites and Hittites. But they would never get to those great mountaintops and victories and enjoyment of the land if they didn't obey God at this juncture to go forward. As a church, let our path be forward. Let our ministries go forward in the power of the Spirit of the Lord. Let us go forward in preaching. By the way, preaching is the great weapon of God for the pulling down of strongholds. It will pull down the hugest blocks of stone the enemy can pile together. We'll continue to preach the gospel and make the gates of hell shake. We want to preach truth. We want to see prodigals return. Listen, listen, listen. We can go forward, is what I'm saying. We want to preach the gospel to every creature. Man, I'm encouraged to see young men that are preaching the word of God. But let us go forward in the calling and training of more men into full-time ministry. Brethren, and if you can't do that, if you can do none of that, then pray that the Spirit of God may rest upon our preaching to touch lives. Let us go forward in preparing buildings to be used for the Lord's glory and in serving others. Let us go forward in giving by faith. Let us go forward in the mission of planting churches. Let us go forward to extend our borders of evangelism. One of our men spoke to me recently and said in 2024, God gave him this heartbeat. He's going to pray for one man for a month. And at the end of that month, he's going to set up an appointment to witness to that one man. He said, "Preacher, I've got to confront souls with the gospel." What he was saying was, I need to go forward in personal evangelism. You see, there are some persons who cannot be persuaded to make an advance in their personal spiritual lives. They enjoy camping out. The idea of forward, if you looked up the word here in Exodus chapter 14, you would find that it has the idea of pulling up stakes. They were camping. They were comfortable there. And God said, it's time to pull up the stakes and move on. It was safe there. There were several million people in that valley. The people in the 50th row couldn't go anywhere until the people in the first row moved. Can I remind every believer this morning, there's people behind you, and they're dependent upon you going forward. Moms and dads, there are children just waiting for you to get back on the right path and start moving forward. If you would do it, maybe Johnny and Susie would move forward in their lives. You ever thought that you might be holding your children back because you are the one camping out that have yet to pull up the stakes and go forward? If you fail to go forward, somebody else will. If you refuse to go forward in your life spiritually, somebody else will. Look at verse number 15. The Lord said unto Moses, "Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." Moses had to take that first step of speak. That probably wasn't a popular message to preach. Then he had to take a second step. "But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." Now, I don't know how strong I would have been in faith to say, I'm going to put this rod out, and if nothing happens, I'm going to look like a real idiot. Leaders are required to take steps of faith to lead others in steps of faith. Moses put the rod out, the sea will divide, and the people will walk across on dry ground. What if Moses didn't put the rod out? What if Moses didn't go forward? What did it mean for Moses to go forward? Obey God. Forward in your life means ultimately obeying God. Moses had to obey God. When Moses obeyed and took the first step and did what God told him to do, and the waters began to roll back on every side, it opened the gate where 2 million plus Jews were able to go forward. Because the leader went forward. We ought to go forward in our lives. You ought to go forward in the knowledge of God and His Word. Do you know more scripture this year than you did last? You ought to go forward should be the motto as to your faith this year. You were doubting. You were fearful. You were anxious years ago. But listen. It doesn't have to be an ongoing struggle and weakness. You can go forward. You can grow in faith. You can rest in God. You can replace anxiety with prayer. And you know what? You can be an example to others that, yes, I used to be captivated by some of those things, but God has given me victory in my life. I pulled up those stakes. I stopped camping there. Some need to go forward there. We're too content to say, well, I struggle with this. You know what? God wants you to get to a place where you don't struggle with that. And God has the answers, and God has the resources, and God has the power to get you over that. Forward. Some need to go forward in your fellowship with Christ. I'm afraid some are not making any progress in their nearness to Christ, in drawing nigh to God. Some need to go forward in making commitments to be faithful to God's church. Others need to go forward in their service for Christ. You're sitting and God says, forward, forward. It's time to go forward. Some are camping and they're enjoying campering out over past hurts. And God says, you know what? It's time for you to get up, stop licking your wounds, and go forward. Leave that. That's hindering you. That's paralyzing you. That's keeping you from investing in others. You got guards up. You don't want to get burnt again. And God says, pull up the stakes and go forward. Others are dealing with bitterness. And you camped out there. And you let your heart return back to those things. And that bitterness infects your mind, your perspective of others. And God wants you in the new year to go forward. Some of you are captivated by fear when it comes to witnessing, and you have been for years. And you know what? God's just saying this. I'll part the Red Sea. I'll give you the witnessing opportunities. I'll open the doors. I'll give you souls if you'll just take a step and go forward. Go forward. It's interesting that God took them to that place to make them completely dependent upon Him in order to be able to go forward. They could not help themselves. One author said, if I have any choice between having abundant wealth or being brought to absolute dependence upon daily supplies, if in the latter case I could have greater power to exhibit and to exert faith in Christ, I must confess that I should prefer the mode of living which would give me the most room to enjoy the luxury of depending upon my God. Some of us have camped out here in the place of self-sufficiency, and we've lost the luxury of depending upon God. And could it be in 2024 that God puts us in a place that's difficult, in order to bring us back to a place of dependence upon the Lord? At the Red Sea of affliction, we see most of the right arm of God. I am glad there was a Red Sea. I bless God that it was deep and had foaming billows. I praise His name that there were fierce and cruel Egyptians. For if there had never been that Red Sea, and there would never be the song of Moses in Exodus chapter 15. Look at it as I close. Verse number 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare an habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt Him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is His name. Some are camping. And God's message to you, like it was to Moses and to the nation of Israel, is to go forward. Some in this room, you know there is something before the Lord that you should be obeying God in. There's something that you should be taking intentional, making intentional decisions and pursuing intentional direction on. But you're stalemated. And God wants to rouse you at the beginning of this year. God wants to shake you up and say, it's time to become intentional about my leading in your life. It's time to pursue. It's time to get on that road of obedience and following me. See, preacher, I don't see how it's going to be done. Neither did Israel. But eventually, a leader took a step, and a Jew took a step, and another Jew took a step, and another one, and another one, and another one. And it wasn't too long until they looked back and they could see, number one, God did it. Number two, I'm further along. We're closer to the mission. We've obeyed the commander. We're no longer fugitives. God has changed our entire lives. God has changed our direction. And the same can be true for you. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed this morning. Maybe you've entered the new year somewhat like me. Maybe you've entered it a little sick at times. Maybe you've entered it with a full calendar of running hither and yon. Maybe you've not really had time to think, meditate, consider that God is interested, really interested, that you, as one of his people, go forward. I wonder if you're here and you'd say, preacher, first part of the message you talked about, people that are lost that need to come forward to Christ and be saved, go forward in that decision, that intentional decision of faith in Jesus Christ and confession of sin. You say, preacher, I guess I would be part of that crowd. I've not come to Christ and been saved. And I do see that I'm in trouble because of my sin. I've got God's justice on one side, that he's got to deal with me according to my sin in the future. And I've got the brevity of life, not knowing when I'm going to die around me. And I've got the enemy, the devil, that would keep me back from getting saved. But yet, God wants to save me. Preacher, I believe God wants to save me today. I would like to go forward in that intentional decision of calling upon God to save me this day. Would you raise your hand if you're like that this morning in this building? You may be joining us by way of live stream, and you may be in that place that I've just described. You know what? You can pray where you're at, wherever you're at, and call out to Almighty God. Put your faith in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection as the payment for your sin and be saved. You can do that right now. Say, preacher, I am saved, but you talked about Jonah. You talked about how that backsliders are fugitives. And preacher, I'll be honest with you. I'm backslidden. And God is dealing with my heart about an intentional decision about leaving that condition, about all that Jesus has to offer to me to come back to him. And God's dealing with me about going forward in that way today, preacher. I want to leave that state. I want to be in a renewed relationship with God. I got some things I got to confess to God. But my heart is touched to go forward this year and to start it by changing directions in life. I'm not going to wander away anymore, preacher. I'm going to draw nigh to the Lord. I'm going to get my life right with God. Would you raise your hand in this building? Preacher, God is dealing with me. To be honest, I am backslidden, but God is dealing with me. He's dealing with me about going forward in my life, about coming back to the Lord and getting my life right with the Lord. I wonder if you're in this building and you'd say, preacher, to be honest with you, I haven't thought about this thought, but the message this morning is dealing with me not in a specific area, but it is pushing me to put before the Lord this week in my time with God, God, what areas do you want me to go forward in? God, if you're interested in me going forward, then Lord, would you show me where I need to go forward in my life? How many of you say, preacher, God is putting that in my heart even as you speak to pray this week and identify, let the Lord identify what I should go forward in. Would you raise your hand, maybe with other believers this morning? Preacher, this week I will pray that before the Lord. I will put that before the Lord. Lord, what is it in my life that you want me to go forward in? I know you're interested. According to the scriptures, you're interested in me going forward. Would you raise your hand with these many other believers today? Preacher, I will pray that before the Lord this week. Last question is this. Usually in a message like this, the Holy Spirit deals specifically as well. And that is, there's some area you know you need to go forward in. There's something that God's been working on your heart. If your heart's like my heart, this is the way God deals with me. He begins to put it on my mind. He begins to bring it to my attention. He shines light upon that area. Maybe he's done that through the preaching and something that I've mentioned in the message this morning, but maybe not. Maybe he's been doing that in your life for a while. Maybe God's been working in your heart specifically, and this is kind of the capstone to what God's been doing in some area of your life. You say, preacher, God has already identified some area in my life that I must go forward in. Would you raise your hand in this building? You say, preacher, I know there is some area in my life that I must go forward in. Would you raise your hand with these other believers across this building? Preacher, I know there is some area in my life that I need to pick up my stakes and I need to move. Intentional decision, intentional direction. Would you raise your hand with these other believers? Anybody else? You'd say, preacher, I know what that is in my life. Now here's what's 11:45. We're early this morning. We're early to give you time to pray to God. And what better way to start this year than at an altar this morning, either praying about, God, I know you're interested that I go forward. Lord, would you show me? God, I want to know it. And Lord, I'll commit to this. If you'll reveal it to me, I will work in that area. I'll give diligence. I'll depend upon you in that area. Or if you know this morning, then you come forward and you say, dear God, thank you, thank you, thank you for speaking to me. Thank you for making your will known to me. Thank you for your word. Lord, this particular area of my life, I know you're speaking to me to go forward. God, I need your strength. God, I need your help. Lord, at the end of this year, may I be able to look back and say, this particular Red Sea in my life, the Lord helped me to cross. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for the truths of it. Lord, your spirit, Lord, works in our spirit. You communicate with us. Lord, I believe you've done that in this service this morning, in hearts in this building. Lord, I know you've done that in my heart. Lord, in studying this message, you've dealt with me. And Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, draw people to yourself this morning. Lord, if there's a backslider here, Lord, may they come forward today. Lord, may they go forward, spiritually speaking. May, Lord, they get back to God. And Lord, have a restored relationship with the Spirit of God, Lord, with you. Lord, I pray for others, Lord, that, Lord, will be seeking you this week. Oh, God, the Spirit, reveal, Lord, reveal the specifics to those that are searching. Lord, for others, Lord, that know the specifics. God, may there be a spirit of submission and a spirit of reliance upon you this morning, a spirit of humility, a spirit of willingness, Lord, to get up and move and, Lord, make an intentional decision, take an intentional direction in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand with me. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. The pianist plays this morning. Let me invite you to come to an altar. If you're saying, preacher, I don't know that area, why don't you bend a knee before God and start a prayer this week that the Lord will unfold that to you. If you do know a specific area in your life that you say, God is putting his finger on. I know it, preacher. I know it. Then could I invite you to come this morning and name that area or those areas before God. Let that become a focus. Let that become something that you begin to pray about daily before the Lord. Lord, I don't want to camp there. Lord, I don't want this struggle going into another year. Lord, could you make me strong in this area? If you've been dragging your feet in some area where you ought to be picking up the pace, so to speak, that is, God has a call on your life, or there's something that God is dealing with you on that you're supposed to pursue, then Christian, you ought to pick up the pace in that area. If you're going backwards this morning spiritually, God's interested in your life. He's interested that you be awakened to it. That's first thing. That you respond to it in faith and obedience. That's second thing. He's interested that you go forward. You may be here and you may be considering some bad decisions this morning in the new year. You may be considering giving up on something. You may be considering running from something. My friend, you know what? Why don't you reverse those thoughts? Say, I bless God, I am not going to go backwards. This year I am going to go forward. Take your songbooks, hymn number 816. Have Thine Own Way. We'll sing on the first verse together. Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have Thine Own Way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. I am waiting, yielded and still. Sing on the last together, on the last verse. Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see. Always living in me. Before Pastor Todd comes, I want to challenge the men of our church, your leaders in your homes. And if you have no vision from God as to how you're supposed to go forward spiritually, how your home's supposed to go forward, then you understand you're leading people to wonder. Take this week before the year gets too busy. Get alone with God. Find out, Lord, what can I do to help my marriage this year? Lord, how can I lead my children, my teenagers? Lord, what do you want us as a family to accomplish for you? God, what needs strengthened in my home? Gentlemen, we cannot coast. Moses could not coast, and neither can we. Let me challenge you this week. Spend some time with the Lord. Get some direction, personal direction, intentional direction and decision for your family. All right? God bless you. We'll see you tonight. Very interesting message tonight that I think will bless your hearts as we focus on Christ in the evening service. All right?
And again, in the evening service, we'll be partaking of the Lord's Supper. Choir practice is at 5 o'clock. Choir practice is at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. Don't forget, if you hold a church credit card, I need to meet with you at 6 p.m. down in room number 1. Brief meeting, but an important meeting. And then family bowling is tomorrow night, 7 p.m., East Lincoln Lanes. There is a sign-up sheet in the foyer notebook. Not too late to sign up. So that is tomorrow night. Wednesday night, we got the bookstore sale. Tiny Notes and Children's Choir resumes. So please be aware of that. Then also, We are collecting birthday cards to send to Gina. We need to have them by January 17th. There is a basket in the foyer. You see that at the usher's statement, usher's station. Ladies' Bible study, the little sheet there, the times were a little bit incorrect. Ladies' Bible study is on the 18th, 10 a.m. and 6:30 p.m., so please be aware of that. If you have any questions on that, you can see Miss Connie or Miss Jenny on that. Let me see here. Then don't forget, boys' basketball is coming starting on Monday, January 15th. The couples retreats, not too late to sign up for that. There is a sign-up sheet for giving reports. If you would like a giving report, you can sign your number in the foyer notebook, and you can see the sign-up before the 28th of January. Also, a Pine Car Derby is coming up. You can see the details in your printed announcement sheet. But if you're going to partake in the Pine Car Derby, and it is open to everyone, so even you older folks can partake in that, okay? But you can see the details in your printed announcement sheet. But we do need you to sign up so that we can start organizing how we're going to divide it, okay? It's always a good time. Fun time. So I'd encourage you to partake in that, even the older folks. All right, JB?
Yes, for those who aren't going bowling and have spare time and it strikes you, you can come out for Bible assembly tomorrow night.
All right, there you go. Yes, so Bible assembly is tomorrow night. If you're not going bowling, Bible assembly is tomorrow night. All right, any other last-minute announcements before we're dismissed? All right. Ben Hoxie, would you please dismiss us in prayer?
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.